Dr. Alan Leica here, and I'd like to welcome you to How to Live a Fantastic Life show, where we will be discussing the important aspects of your life. We hope to inspire you to live the best life you can. Get out of your comfort zone and explore the awesome world around you. Break through your barriers. Take inspired action. Use the difficulties in your life to achieve the best version of you. Ladies and gentlemen, today we have a very special guest. His name is Eddie Purtell. Now, he was born with a disease called neurofibrosis type 1, diagnosed as birth. Now, to many of you, you will not know that disease, but it is a disease that's fairly common. And it was also known as the elephant man disease, but we're going to go into that in a little bit more depth, and Eddie's going to try and educate us about it. Now, Eddie grew up in Milwaukee, he's lived in Denver, and, you know, he's really an amazing person because he has not let this disease limit him. He has run 14 half marathons, and 11 of them to raise funds for the Children's Tumor Foundation, and another marathon for something called CTF, which we'll also go through in a few minutes as well. Thank you for coming, Eddie.
Thank you for having me.
So tell me a little bit about your condition and when you first found out about it.
So I was, you know, as you said, I was diagnosed with neurofibromatosis at birth. And for me, I had a tumor on my left optic nerve. So somewhere in this area, and which caused me to have 3 glaucoma surgeries by the time or before I was 1 year old. And then when I was about 4 years old, I had to have my left eye removed. So I've had a prosthetic eye since I've been 4, and throughout my life, I've probably had over 20 surgeries and countless MRIs to monitor any tumor growth.
Wow, that certainly has put a damper on things right at the start. I mean, you were already running a marathon with a 20-pound weight behind you, which just makes it difficult.
Yeah.
Yeah, so tell me, does neurofibromatosis run in your family?
No, I'm the only one that has it.
Okay. Let's talk to the listener a little bit about neurofibromatosis. What exactly is that disease?
So it's a, you know, genetic disorder, and for NF, there's, you know, NF type 1, NF type 2, and schwannomatosis. I was born with NF1, and that's, you know, usually people with that, it's usually like diagnosed very early in life. For me, it was pretty much at birth. NF type 2, usually people develop later on in their teenage years. And for NF1, every one in about 3,000 people are born with it. So fairly common. And then NF2 is about every, I think, one in 25,000.
Well, so how has this disease impacted your life? What has it done to your life?
Obviously I've had a lot of medical procedures and medical stuff that has been caused by it, but I guess I didn't really understand what it was until I was 8. And then, you know, obviously once I got older, I was able to understand it more. It is pretty complex. But, you know, for me, it's, it's always been a part of me. So it's not like one day I, you know, completely changed my life. It's just always been who I am.
Yeah. So to you, it's not been something that you just literally woke up and think something changed. Yeah. This is something you've really had to grow up with and learn to deal with along the way.
Yeah.
Yeah. And has it been more difficult than your friends or your colleagues?
Maybe, you know, just growing up being young with a genetic disorder, like, you know, very young, was maybe a little different than from playing sports. You know, for me, it was probably different being blind in one eye.
Yeah.
I mean, a disadvantage compared to other people playing the same sports. You know, it doesn't really stop me from doing much. You know, I still played sports through high school. You know, I still ski a lot out here in Denver. I've run multiple half marathons and a marathon. So it hasn't affected me too much, I'd say. I still am as active as, you know, anyone else my age living in Colorado.
You know, people have this funny idea. They think of people with disabilities as being somewhat strange, that they just don't do things. But, you know, that's what I want to dispel the rumor of. I think people have to realize disabilities are something people live with. But when they do that, they use that almost as a superpower for themselves, because they compensate by doing other things. And you, although you don't have vision in your one eye, and you've had, you know, a prosthesis in one eye, that hasn't stopped you from doing a lot of things that you love to do, such as running marathons and skiing and those other things you love to do.
Yeah.
So is there, I'm going to ask you a tough question, and you might not be able to answer. Is there a way that neurofibromatosis actually has been a superpower for you? Is it a way that it's helped you?
Yeah, I guess so. You know, I don't think I've, would have maybe not have started running half marathons if I wasn't born with it. And I really started getting running more when I was in high school. Over the summers, I decided to start trying to run more to be in better shape for soccer season. So, and then, you know, one day I just went on a longer run than usual. And then I decided, I think that day I probably went for like 6 or 6.5 mile run. And then I decided to, why not try a half marathon and raise money for the Children's Tumor Foundation. And here I am, multiple half marathons and a marathon later, having raised over $130,000 for the Children's Tumor Foundation.
Wow. What is the Children's Tumor Foundation, and how does it differentiate from the Neurofibromatosis Foundation?
It's the same, actually. So like, the Children's Tumor Foundation is a foundation that raises money to find a cure for you know, NF1, NF2, and schwannomatosis, or to help not only find a cure, but also find you know, types of medicines that could help people that have you know, certain type of other medical overlays due to their NF1 or NF2.
Or that's pretty significant, and things like that. How old are you now, sir?
28. I'll be 29 in October.
And do you work a day job as well?
Yeah.
Well, what kind of work do you do?
Finance.
Okay.
So, finance since I graduated.
Okay. So does this disease affect you in your daily working?
A little. You know, I was, I have some learning disabilities because of my NF, and you know, other people with NF around 50% usually have some type of learning challenges because of it. So a little, but you know, my learning challenges hasn't stopped me in life.
So even though you've had these challenges, you plod ahead day in and day out. You make those days happen.
Yeah.
That's huge. And I think I need to applaud you for that, because that has been pretty. Now, you started running, and how does running help you with your life?
A lot. You know, I just think, you know, any form of exercise can help people, you know, can help for their mental health as well as physical. So, you know, for me, I love just going outside and, you know, running, either, you know, clear my mind, or, you know, just get a good workout in. And you know, but I love that I can run anywhere. You know, when I'm back home, I'll run with my dogs and my dad, take them down towards Lake Michigan, or out here in Colorado. I can run in the city or drive in the mountains and go on a trail run through the mountains. And even when you're traveling, you know, anywhere in the world, it's pretty easy to just take a pair of running shoes with you and be able to run anywhere in the world.
That's huge as well. What other things make you happy other than running and doing the other things that you do? What makes you happy in life?
Outside of any, I guess, form of exercise, running, biking, skiing, hiking, and stuff like that, being around my friends and family. I grew up loving sports, going to sporting events, hockey games, basketball games, football games, even baseball games, just going out and with friends and family or watching any sporting event live makes me happy. Always fun.
Are you a Denver, Colorado fan in hockey?
I guess I'm cheering for the Avs, I guess, living out here for 9 years. But I do think that this series is going to be a good one.
So I think it's going to be as good as the Stanley Cup. As you know, I'm an Edmonton Oilers fan, so that makes it interesting. I think it's going to be very challenging for both teams. It's going to be a hard-fought series.
I have a good friend who's an Oilers fan from back home, so I've been chatting with him about the series.
Yeah, it's going to be a hard-fought series, and that makes it interesting. So it makes the best of all worlds when you have good hockey like that. So tell me also, you are a neurofibromatosis ambassador. What does that mean?
Yes, every year NF selects an ambassador, I guess, to represent, NF. And so last year I was selected for this year's ambassador, the 22 ambassadors. So last November at the NF Gala in New York, I gave a big speech at the end, I guess, as my swearing in as the ambassador for this year. And for this year, I'll be going to NF conferences and the NF summit and giving small talks and various other stuff throughout the year. And then for the gala this year, I'll be giving a pre-speech for the person that's going to be the ambassador for 2023.
Wow! Where is the main meeting held? Is it always in New York, or is it in other places as well?
The big one is always in New York. That's where, the Children's Tumor Foundation headquarters is.
Okay. And what about the smaller meetings that you attend?
So there's going to be one in Philly that I'll be attending in a couple of weeks. And then the NF Summit, which is new this year, will be in Chicago. And I'll be in Chicago for that weekend, which is going to be, that third weekend in July.
How difficult do you find it to be a public speaker?
I guess it depends what the topic is, what I'm like presenting on. Before giving my speech at the NF Gala last year, I never really had any public speaking experience outside of class presentations in college, which is completely different, just giving a presentation to 20 people compared to speaking in front of over 300 and having that speech live streamed on YouTube.
Yeah, people that I coach, I found that people have one of the biggest difficulties people have is in speaking. The other thing they have is in their headspace, getting their mind around getting in front of people, because one of the biggest fears people have is public speaking. And, those fears are sometimes hard to overcome. Do you have those fears as well, or did you have those fears?
Yes, not really. When it comes to public speaking, if you have a passion for it, I think it comes a lot easier. And as well, compared to college or school, you're not getting graded on it. And, when I was at the gala, everyone was there to raise money and in support of the foundation that I've been raising money for. So I wasn't too nervous, when I had to give my speech.
That's huge. And I think that's important. You get up on the speech, you are a spokesman for the group, and you are also an example for people that have neurofibromatosis, because I think that's important for people to have somebody to look up to, somebody that is leading a way. Here's a person like yourself who's extremely active, a person that doesn't let this get them down. You still participate in all your sports and do your regular activity, regardless of what this disease is doing to you or having problems with.
Yeah. And I think that's definitely, you know, a good thing with social media that, you know, when I was growing up, you know, social media wasn't really a thing. Technology wasn't as big. So I wasn't able to see other people, you know, like me with NF doing, you know, these big endurance events. And, you know, so that's why I think social media can be a really good thing. You can see people like me with a genetic disorder doing all these things, or, you know, someone else with some other type of disease that is able, still able to do all these endurance events or big things in life.
Yeah. Do you have a social media presence? Do you put your events on social media as well?
Yeah. Well, so, you know, I use Instagram and Facebook as my, you know, main sources whenever I'm in the process of fundraising and doing these half marathons. You know, I'll post my fundraising link on Facebook and Instagram and, you know, do a post or two about it. And, you know, just as well, like, I'll text some friends to see if they're interested in running a half with me, which is sometimes a little hard to do, to convince someone to run 13 miles.
Yeah, I think that's huge. And I think that's an amazing philosophy that you have. I think when people have a disability, they have to learn to live. They also have to learn to forgive, because one of the biggest things that they do is they blame themselves or they blame others. And they always have this little voice inside themselves that has a problem with forgiving. And you know, another thing you have to do is give back. And you are a person that's giving back a lot by what you do. You are giving back by your marathons and raising funds. Yeah. So not only are you doing this for yourself, which is good for your body, but you're doing this for the neurofibrosis group to help them get their message out and actually raise funds for them so that they could be more successful.
Yeah, definitely.
Are there any other things that you that are a challenge to you because of your loss of sight in one eye? Are you able to drive a car?
Yeah. You know, I do have my license and I am able to drive my car, although I don't really drive as much, you know, being fully remote. And even before the pandemic, you know, I was in the office, but I lived close enough where I could walk, which is nice because I could, you know, save money on gas. So really the only time I've been driving lately is if I'm, you know, going out to the mountains to go skiing or hiking, or maybe to a friend's house that lives a little further away that's, you know, not in like walking distance, or would be kind of a pain to cycle bike there. But yeah.
That's huge. Now, Eddie, this show is called the How to Live a Fantastic Life Show. How do you live a fantastic life with a chronic disease like neurofibromatosis?
You know, just finding as many passions as you can. You know, for me, doing, you know, outdoor activities, set, you know, as I've said earlier in this show, you know, running, biking, skiing, hiking, you know, fishing, just anything outdoors. And then, you know, trying to spend as much time as I can with my friends and family. You know, just going out anywhere, you know, sporting event, maybe just a bar for a quick drink, or just being around people and being outside for me.
Well, that's huge. And would you recommend any others with neurofibromatosis to do the same, to find their passions and live by them?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's, you know, the best way for how to live a happy life is finding something you're passionate about. Although it might, you know, sometimes it's hard to find like a full-time job that, you know, makes you happy every day. Cause, you know, for me, like, I could find a job that I like, but, you know, during the winter, I could look out the window and be like, wow, it'd be a really good day to be skiing right now. So for a kind of job, I think you got to find something that makes you happy the most of the time. Cause I think it's hard to have a job that you love every day. Cause there's going to be days where you'd rather be outside skiing and such, but yeah. So that's find a job that makes you happy, and then, you know, finding activities outside of work that also make you happy.
Do you have any mentors in life that have helped to guide you along the way?
I guess my dad, you know, growing up when I was younger, I didn't really have as I said earlier, there's no real social media presence. It's hard to find other people like me with NF or, you know, genetic disorders that were doing all these endurance events and, I guess, living a normal life.
So your father, did he help to guide you in view of the fact that you had a disability like this?
Yeah, I guess both my parents did. You know, I was, you know, spent a lot of time with my dad, you know, playing hockey on the pond, you know, near our house from when I was younger. And then he's also run a lot of these half marathons with me. And even though, and even last year when he was at 60, he was still running a half marathon with me. So I look that, you know, I look up to that as something I hope to do when I'm that age, still be in the shape he is and doing the things that I'm still doing it as now, you know, keeping up with me on the mountains when he comes out here.
That's huge. And I think you're answering some very fundamental questions. You get to where you are by the guidance you've had, and your parents were very instrumental at not making you feel strange or weird, but you were able to get to where you are because of the strong guidance they gave you along the way.
I've also just had, you know, so many amazing friends growing up. I've had, you know, some friends that I've known pretty much since like kindergarten that have run these half marathons with me. And a lot of the friends I have in my life, most of them are from, you know, the Milwaukee area that I've known, you know, since like kindergarten/elementary school.
If you met a younger person like yourself with neurofibromatosis, what advice would you give them?
You know, just let it not, to not let it control your life, that you're still able to do all these things in life. And you know, I could still be, you know, an average to advance a skier, or, you know, you could still have the ability to do, you know, half marathons, marathons, maybe even a triathlon. And just because you have this genetic disorder, it's not going to stop you from living a full life.
Well, those are big words. Is that the sort of message you try to give when you speak at the Neurofibromatosis Foundation as well?
Yeah, pretty much, you know, I guess it's my biggest thing, you know, even though I was born with this, it hasn't stopped me from living an extremely active life and doing the things I love.
Well, that's huge. I think a person that's disabled, I had a good friend by the name of Gary McPherson that unfortunately is no longer with us, that would say the following. He was a young man that got polio at the age of 12 or 13. So he was normal till that age. And when he got polio, he was paralyzed from the neck down. So what he had to do was literally frog breathing and things like that to keep going. And Gary was a very special person. He would do things like he never let it stop him. And he always used to say that if you have a disability, you should not, if you're in a room with a person and you have a disability, after 10 minutes, if they still think you have a disability, then you haven't done anything right. And that's what I like to tell people I coach as well, that disability should not be something that sets you back. It makes you different, yes, but it doesn't set you apart. It actually can be your superpower to push you to another level.
Yeah, for sure.
And I think that's what I think people have to realize, that yes, disabilities make people different, but I think the word disability is probably a bad word in itself. And we probably have to think of a better word for that, because you're not really disabled. What you have is a different set of things that you have to work with. You're not from the moon because you have a disability. You just are a person with special things that have to be dealt with in special ways.
Yeah, definitely. And especially for like younger kids, you know, being told they have a disability might mess with them mentally, and this might make them think that, you know, I won't be able to do, you know, things other normal kids can. Maybe the semblance of difference that they have, and they're still able to do, you know, all these things that other kids can their age. They might just have to take a different path to get there.
Yeah, and I think it's mindset that's largely important with that. And mindset is something that you need to be able to develop and make things better. If you have the proper mindset and the proper tenacity, I think you can overcome most things in life. That, I think, is something most people have to work on. Tenacity and mindset are something that are your superpowers if you work at them properly.
Yeah. Tenacity definitely helps people get far in life.
Eddie, how can people find out more about your world if they'd like to?
Well, I do have a fundraising link set up for the half marathon I'm going to do this year. Or, you know, or they could just go to ctf.org and learn more about neurofibromatosis if they wanted to.
Oh, that's huge. Eddie, I got to thank you for being on our show today and making this a very special show. You are a very special person, and it takes a lot of courage to get in front of people and say the things that you are. Thank you for being courageous.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Dr. Allen.
Okay, bye for now. Ladies and gentlemen, Eddie Pertel is a very special person. I coach people like him in my coaching programs as well. So if you have something that needs to be coached, please don't hesitate to check up on my website. You also go to Dr. Allen Leica Coaches. That's DRALLEN Leica, LYCKA coaches.com. Bye for now. Have a fantastic day.
You've been listening to How to Live a Fantastic Life. Be sure and pick up a copy of Dr. Leica's book, The Secrets to Living a Fantastic Life, on Amazon.com. And you'll want to subscribe right here on this page so you don't miss a single episode. Have a fantastic day.